Have Kevin come down and tell us what they were doing in their first week. Some of you might remember way back to the beginning of our series, the beginning of the summer, when we were thinking about temptations of Jesus. So.
Can you see? Can everyone see? Yeah. You don't want to hold it. Or just put it right here. Just kind of stand out there. Okay.
The first week here we did Matthew 4, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses, kind of what we kind of focused on. Okay. This is Matthew 4. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" So that's kind of what we focused on. We kind of looked at temptation. I think that was the main thing that was coming out that we wanted to focus with the kids. And you can imagine the temptations they would come up with, right? There's a load of sweets on here. So we have sweets, we have some marshmallows piled up, plenty of cookies. And just as we talked about, you know, and I think in that verse, Jesus wasn't really talking about the physical temptations that we have, but there was a spiritual sense of it too, which we wanted to connect to a little later. They have some good diet plans in here, though, to combat all the eating. One of the kids suggested fill your gut with water. That'll prevent you from eating as much, right? So just as we said, there's many, many different ways to combat these physical temptations. There's also ways to combat spiritual temptations. So we kind of wanted to roll into that with them. So later, we started talking about the spiritual side, and we had some kid, I won't mention their names here, they brought up several temptations: retaliating, stealing, and those are all bad things. Right, Joel? And to combat the spiritual side of that, obviously, we have God's Word. We have a picture of God's Word here. We have some praying and just respecting people, being in fellowship. These are all things that the kids come up with. So all in all, Jesus is there to help us with that spiritual side, that temptation. We just need to turn to Him for guidance. Okay, any questions? Thank you.
And James is going to come and tell us about the feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah, second week. It's a well-known story, isn't it? And I thought, how can we do it slightly differently? So I had a little look on the internet. And if technology works, we're going to see the story this morning. And if technology doesn't work, we won't see the story this morning. Ooh. Okay.
It's not connecting to Flash.
Brilliant. Okay, right, what happened? This is just like Sunday Club. I said to Mark, this is what I'm going to do. He said, that's just like you do Sunday Club normally. It just sort of goes. Anyway, yeah, the story we looked at. It's gone. Anyway, the story up here was just the story of the little boy and how he started off. And, oh, was he one of these little boys that gets up and does all these jobs? No, he didn't. But he went to see Jesus. And on his way out, I weren't quite sure whether he's one of these young lads that eats and eats and eats and eats. And so he was going out for the day and he thought, oh, I'm starving. What's in the kitchen? And grabs some rolls and some fish and off he went to see Jesus. Or was he one of these lads that saw, Mum, I'm going out, I'm going to see Jesus, find out what's going on. And then his mum says, hang on, you've got to have something for your dinner. Oh dear, don't mums go on. I was ganged up with Mum and Karen this week. Oh, you've got to have something to eat. Oh dear, anyway, that's another thing. Anyway, so young lad, yeah, went off, went to see Jesus. Did he meet his mates at the corner and say, we'll all do it together? We don't know. But he went and he heard the message. And as he was there, what does it say? As they went out and looked out, Jesus says, oh, these people will be hungry. And was it Philip went, oh, we haven't got 200 tonight. How are we going to feed all these people? And Andrew said, yeah, we've got this lad. We don't know his name, don't know a lot about him. All we know is he got up one morning and thought, yeah, I'm going to have a look, see what Jesus is all about. And Jesus, it says, he took his lunch. Well, we sort of made some lunches a bit like this. I don't know whether you like fish with wobbly eyes when you sit on your plate, but the kids did. They're going, oh, wobbly eyes. Or maybe you have to cut the head off because you don't like it when you... But anyway, so yeah, he had his... we got one, two fish. I'm just making sure we got the right number. Yeah, one, two, three, four, five. A few bits of bread, and it says Jesus fed a lot of people. And the other thing we couldn't work out was, it says the food went on. How do you describe to kids 5,000 people? I need two volunteers. Go on then, Amy. Any others? Okay, I'll be the other one. I'm a big kid, so it don't matter. So, I set them a little task to say, how many people are here? And Amos started off with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. There's 250. So, there we go. If you can hold that one. To try and get a clue of how many people Jesus fed with those loaves and fishes. They just keep going on and on and on and on. Yeah, 5,000. Just to put it in perspective. And we looked at God. It's amazing, isn't he? He took a little bit and multiplied it for so many. And in our lives, whatever we give to God, he can multiply and do amazing things. So there we are. And they're all happy, yeah. I was going to do a Where's Wally and colour him in and say, which one is he? But I thought, well, you know, that's not it. But there you are, that's our...
you leave that there,
I believe that.
Kath, I was enjoying myself away in Ipswich this week, but you were enjoying yourselves here with Kath.
My legs aren't that long. Sorry about the clatter. The story we had was where the woman washes Jesus' feet. And really, it's about two main characters, with Jesus sort of observing what was going on. And we had very different reactions. I suppose the first big difference was one was a man, one was a woman. Can't get more different than that, can you? But the man, who the host, the chap that had invited Jesus to this meal, was quite a knowledgeable chap. He knew a lot. Some folk might say he was a know-it-all. He knew all the rules and regulations. He knew the traditions. It was all head knowledge. The woman was the gatecrasher. She wasn't invited, but she came anyway because she heard Jesus was there. The man, the host, neglected his tradition for some reason. He failed to wash Jesus' feet. And so what happens? The woman sat at his feet, started weeping. And she washed his feet. And his feet became nice and clean, but a bit wet. So she took her hair and dried it. Very lovingly and caringly, she looked after the needs of Jesus. Back to the host. He neglected to kiss his guest. Again, a tradition, a ritual. He failed to do. What did the woman do? She never stopped kissing his feet. She just kissed them all the time. Back to the horse. He didn't, again, follow tradition. He didn't anoint Jesus' head with oil. What does the woman do? She comes prepared. She wouldn't know that, but she came prepared with this perfume, very expensive perfume, and she poured them on his feet, anointed them very caringly. The man misunderstood. He thought, what a waste of money. All that perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Perhaps a good idea. But Jesus understood and gave Simon this parable, this story about giving a lot, losing a lot. And what did she do? She just knew she had to meet with Jesus. It didn't matter to her how much that perfume cost. She just had to give it to Jesus to anoint him with it. The result of all this was some comforting words for the lady. I call her a lady because I think she changed as she'd gone through these stages where she was lovingly looking after Jesus, where she humbly kissed his feet, where she anointed him. She was really making contact with him. And she was sorry for the things that had gone on in her life in the past. The result was there was no encouraging, comforting words for Simon, but for the woman, the lady, there were 7 words very important to her. They were, your sins are forgiven, go in peace. At last she'd been accepted, at last she could go in peace. She was different. And sometimes it's good to be different.
I'm not doing them steps
again. And then Amy going to come down? Nikki going to come down as well? Slowly, yeah. And we were particularly thinking about prayer in this week and persisting in prayer. So, thanks. Does this need to come down a little?
This week we discussed the passage in Luke that introduced the Lord's Prayer and the story of the man knocking on his friend's house at midnight for food because a visitor had come and he had nothing to feed him. And we played games, trying to get the kids, well, do musical statues, which Amos, bless him, and Joel had never played. So you need to do that one now. But we had the music turned really low so that you guys couldn't hear it in here, but also so they had to listen. Because we were trying to explain how praying isn't just talking to God, it's spending that time listening for his reply. And discussing with them why we were taught to pray the Lord's Prayer and what it means and what we should use from that prayer in our daily prayer life.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
In our next session, we were thinking about Meals with Jesus, and Helen was leading the group, and Helen said, actually, for me, she said, it's all summed up with this MP3 track. So, that's hopefully with technology the way it is today is what we're going to have. Did you want to come and just introduce it for us, Helen? You didn't really want to, did you? But you're going to do that for us, aren't you? But, okay. That would give Andrew time to get it all queued up nicely.
So in this session we were looking at, well, it was titled Don't Get Disconnected. And we started off with, it was quite apt actually, because it was just after Bruce Forsyth had died, and one of the games that it was The Price is Right, as in from the Energize stuff that we were using. And so the children quite enjoyed doing that, higher, lower, and we had pictures of things and they had to price things up. So it was very much, this session was all looking about poverty and what that means. And they also had they had to pretend they'd been given £1 million, and they had to decide what they were going to do with this. And the only rule was they had to be really generous, and that was hopefully helping them to think about being generous and not selfishness. And then we looked at what does it mean to be poor, and we looked at 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 4, and about church giving and about what we should be doing with our money and them thinking about what they would do with the money they have and giving generously. But we also looked at what does it mean to be poor in not just in means of money, but also in that you can be poor in health, poor in mental health, poor in self-confidence and all those things and how we can help others in that. And then it finished very much at looking at giving to those in need and simple living. So it looked at the story of the rich young man and the widow and the fact that the widow gave everything and what that meant. And so that's where this MP3 comes in nicely. And I think that summarised the session quite well for the children.
We were thinking about acceptance and forgiveness and security, and we've been thinking about that through the different things we've been looking at during the summer. So perhaps we could just have a slide up. And so just recapping those different sessions that we've looked at, we thought about the temptations. We thought about Jesus multiplying the loaves and fishes. We thought about the rich man and the woman at the feast. We thought about the person who needed but couldn't provide for their neighbours, for their friends, so they came knocking on somebody else's door and they persisted. We thought about the rich young man who went away empty, still not able to find what he was lacking. We thought about Zacchaeus, and we thought about Zacchaeus last week, thinking about, and we really thought here through the whole process of why Zacchaeus felt rejected, why he might feel insecure, why Jesus gave him a security, acceptance, and significance. We then challenged one another to respond to that, to say, as Jesus meets those needs in us, how might we meet those needs in others? And one way we can do that is by inviting them. And Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. And our role is to invite people. If they say no, that's fine. We've invited them. That gives them the understanding that they are accepted, that they are significant to God. So that's what we're encouraged to do and challenging you to do. So could we have the other PowerPoint? And this should just play its way through. And what this was meals that you had whilst you were away over the holidays. The cream tea. Which cream tea? The gluten-free cream tea. Yeah. That unfortunately, that was in Hebden Bridge, so it's a bit of a way to go, but it was very nice. Yeah. Anybody else got another favourite? You like the... Yeah, the web's posh one with the very nice plates, very nice looking plates. Yeah, they look very nice. Anthony's burritos did look good, didn't they? Yeah. The Kellys had to make their own. That looked a lot harder work, didn't it? You know, his just came already prepared. But I was thinking about this and thinking about security acceptance and significance. And they're quite big words, aren't they? So I thought, how can we break that down a little bit for those adults that don't quite get it? And the kids have got it, haven't you? You know what those big words mean. But so security. Security. What does security mean?
Being safe.
Being safe. Right. So being safe. That's a good simple explanation of security. Now, when I was little, and I really was quite little once. Yeah, quite little once. I had a blanket. Oh. And that's what it was called. It was called my blanket. Oh. And it had a really nice soft silk top to it. It was all nice soft wool. And wherever I had my blanket, I knew I was safe. Anybody got one of those? No, none of the children have one of those. No, it was just me. Oh, okay, maybe. Well, for some people, it was a blanket. I think my mum planned on a blanket because she could wash it and it could be switched without me knowing that it was a different blanket, you know, because teddy bears, they can be, like, a bit tricky, can't they? You know, watching your teddy going round in the washing machine can be quite traumatic. So that, in a sense, was a source of security. Now, when I got older, I discovered that there's sort of like a scientific reason for this blanket. You're thinking he's gone completely bonkers. But basically, it's this. Children know that they're loved and accepted because of their parents. Yeah? You feel safe when your parents are around, yeah? And what happens is, if they give you something, it's a sign of their acceptance and of their love. And if you then have that with you, you feel their acceptance, their love, and therefore safety when you've got that object. As you get older, you begin to find that security in other things, that safety in other things. And what the Bible shows us is that really that security is in God, loving us as we are, caring about us, who we are as people, and giving us worth in our life. So that security then comes really from God. But often, some people, many of us, put our security in an blanket, something that doesn't actually make you safe at all. So if a lion came charging towards you, what would you do? You'd probably go, ah! So you close your eyes and put your hands in front of your face. What protection is that against the lion? You could punch it in the nose. That would be a better response. That would be a better response. But actually, your security doesn't come from shouting, screaming, putting your hands over your eyes. Your true security is in God, like Daniel in the den of lions. He didn't put his hands over his eyes. He didn't scream and he didn't punch him on the nose. He trusted God, and God kept him safe in that situation. So it's really his security was in God. So, what about acceptance and significance? I thought, what deep theological message could I bring to the congregation that will get over the concept of acceptance and significance? And God said, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. As you know, it comes in Hezekiah chapter 1. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, how does it go? Yeah, had a very, very shiny nose. But yeah, but that's later when he's driving the sleigh, isn't it? But what happens to start with? They wouldn't let him join in their reindeer games. I don't know what the reindeer games are. It's probably like the Olympics, but for reindeer. Yeah, yeah, discos maybe. But they wouldn't let him join it. Anybody had that situation? Maybe at school, maybe at work. Suddenly, you're not included in the conversation. You're not invited to that party that everybody else seems to be invited to. So that's what it feels like to not be accepted. Okay, so what about significance? How did Rudolph become significant? You said it at one foggy Christmas Eve. He suddenly, his red nose became significant because he was useful to the other reindeers and he found a role for his particular gifts. So that's what it means to be accepted and significant is finding that role in life where you contribute to the whole. And God gives us those gifts that mean that we, each individually, can contribute to the whole. And we can find acceptance in him who accepts us, doesn't exclude us from all the reindeer games, but involves us in his plan. So there you go. That will hopefully stick with you as security, feeling safe, Chris with his R blanket, finding that God is his true security, and Rudolph finding acceptance and significance. But we find our acceptance and significance in God and the things that he calls us to do. Okay, so hopefully that gives you an understanding of what we've been doing over the summer. And we're going to respond to that by Hannah coming down and telling us about Zacchaeus and how he found that in his life. Thank you very much. It was Hannah and Ray, but Ray had to go off to Ireland for his father's funeral, so Hannah is here on her own. Is Amos going to come down and help her? Come on, Amos. Go, Amos.
Right. Amos, come. Well, I'm going to need Amos to read this, and then there you go. Big loud voice.
When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus came down quickly and welcomed him gladly. Luke 19:5-6.
Thank you. Okay. So, that's a first, that is. So Dad and Mum had the Zacchaeus story, and Dad thought it was funny how Chris gave him that story with the only short man in it. But anyways, so they thought about what meal Jesus and Zacchaeus would have had. So we have some fish and chips. I don't know what that is. Oh, sorry. I think, yeah, that's bread. We did have some vegetables, which is a good sign. Yep, so you get the idea. Spaghetti, there you go, that's a first. Right, so you get the idea. And then they thought about what they would have spoken about as well. So they thought about forgiveness with Zacchaeus, obviously, and then sin and love and then friends and school. And, yeah, they kind of got the brains working about that. So that's all I know. So I think they had fun. But yeah.